You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
We've been doing the show longer than Paul Tuss has been executive director of the Bear Paw Development Corporation, but just barely, because Paul has been there for the past two decades. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Good morning, Tom. It's hard to believe that anybody has been doing anything longer than I've been here at Bear Paw Development.
Well, I mean, but you go back even farther than that. I mean, you served as a member of the Board of Regents for Montana for higher education 9 years, including past chairman there. You're raised up in Anaconda, Montana, so you've got a lifelong history in this great state, and I certainly appreciate the service. Let me just ask you this. Then why have you been there for 20 years?
Say that again, Tom.
What? So, as we're just talking about it, 20 years serving there at Bear Paw. Why? Why have you stayed there for 20 years?
Well, it matters. I mean, the work that we do here at Bear Paw and the work that my colleagues throughout Montana and rural America engage in on a daily basis to make our economy stronger, to make our communities more resilient, to make Montana a better state for all of us, regardless of where you live, if you live in urban areas or rural areas. The work of nonprofit economic and community development really does matter. And you're right. I've been here for 20 years at Bear Paw Development, but I've been involved in economic development here in our state for over 25 years. As you know, I started my career in Glacier County in Cutbank and worked over there for 5 years before coming here. And it really were the conduit between good ideas that entrepreneurs and other people have and the resources oftentimes they don't know how to access. So I really think that in a small way, and hopefully in some big ways, we're really moving the needle in terms of making rural Montana a great place to not just live, but also to invest and build a business.
I want to talk about the difference between if there is rural economic development and so-called urban economic development in Montana. It's almost all rural. But staying with this theme a little bit, what have you seen in terms of changes over the years, in those many years, in economic development? More seriousness, more access to revenue, better ideas, or, how are we walking this out? Are we getting better?
Well, I think one of the things that I've seen is a broad acknowledgement that rural matters, that you can live in rural Montana, that you can live in rural America and still be a contributing member of society. I think that for far too long, rural Montana and, frankly, rural America was kind of just given up on. It was a place that you maybe used to live, but you left from, and now you live in a more urban environment. And I think the whole fact that the quality of life that we enjoy throughout rural America is so significant, and in some cases so significantly better than our urban counterparts. And, Tom, as you and I were talking recently when you were in Havre, if you have a strong internet connection, you can live nearly anywhere in this world, have a good job, and really make a difference. And so if you're interested in quality of life, if you're interested in the type of neighborhoods that perhaps you grew up in as a kid, and have that connection to broadband, I think that rural Montana is a great option, not just for businesses, but for people that want to work remotely.
Yeah, how do Montanans and other people, entrepreneurs, take full advantage of that? It seems like in the last 5 years or so, and broadband infrastructure is a big part of that. The legislature has set some things in motion to accomplish that, to at least move that ball forward. But as we've seen over the past 5 years, a lot more interest in that. How do we take full advantage of that phenomenon?
Well, Tom, we have our rural co-op partners to thank for allowing this to happen, because I can tell you, as sure as I'm sitting here today in downtown Havre, that many of our rural communities, and those communities that are actually much smaller than even Havre, they have fiber to the home, and they have fiber to the home because of the electric and telecommunication co-ops that make that possible. So I oftentimes listen to some of my friends or counterparts in more urban areas in the state, and they're in a larger community in, let's say, Billings or Kalispell or in Missoula, and smack dab in the middle of downtown, and they have difficulty connecting. They have difficulty with their broadband, whereas if you're in, and here's a great example, if you're in Big Sandy, you literally have fiber to the home. you have one of the best connections that there literally is available in the world. And so if you're in this during these times of pandemic, if you're teaching your kid from home from the kitchen table, or if you happen to be able to work remotely, you have the telecommunications opportunities to be able to do that, that in some places, even in our more urban environments, simply are not available.
Executive Director, Bearpaw Development Corporation, that's along the High Line, Haver. He serves a large district there, listed at 17,000-plus square miles, five counties, includes two Indian reservations in northern Montana. I want to kind of peel into that a little bit, too. Past president of the Montana Economic Developers Association, currently a member of the board of directors of the National Association of Development Organizations. And before I ask the question, or we can roll into this question, is there a difference between rural development and urban economic development? As a member of the board of directors for the National Association, do they get that there's a difference? Are they looking to adjust their resources or manipulate their policies so that rural economic development has the same opportunities that urban communities have?
They certainly do understand that, Tom, and I appreciate that question. Sometimes we think that the table is tilted sortly toward our urban counterparts, and what we need is we need folks in the halls of Congress, and we need people in the legislature that understand that in order to give those of us that are living and working in rural America a fair shake, we need policies that are conducive to that. We need policies that will favor rural America, not at the expense of urban America, but certainly it levels the playing field. You know, Tom, when you were up here in Haver a couple weeks ago, we had talked about job creation, and I did some numbers crunching since then. You started me thinking about this. If you created five jobs in Chester, Montana, the equivalent number of jobs that you would have to create to have the same impact in Billings would be 631 jobs.
Wow.
The job creation in Malta, if you created 10 jobs in Malta, Montana, the same number of jobs to have the same impact in Billings would be 535. Now, if you created 500 or 600 jobs, they would be putting a statue of you in City Hall, right? that's very significant. But sometimes when we look at five jobs or a couple of jobs or even one job, we somewhat dismiss that because the number isn't big, but the equivalent impact of that job or those two jobs or those five jobs or 10 jobs in rural Montana is truly significant.
Wow, very important point. I love, thank you for doing that. I very much appreciate that. So is there a difference between rural economic development and urban economic development? What is it?
Well, I think in a lot of ways what we have to offer in rural Montana is the quality of life that we opened with. I mean, we have a quality of life that is simply second to none. And so if you live in an urban environment, be it in Montana or throughout this country, and you have safe neighborhoods, oftentimes you have fiber to the home, if you enjoy the rural living that we do here in rural Montana, I think that's a big difference between our urban counterparts and those of us that happen to live in rural areas.
What's it take then to get a good idea off the ground in rural America?
Well, what it takes, Tom, is oftentimes not just the good idea, but access to resources. There's a lot of people, and particularly entrepreneurs that I've run into, that have a good idea, but they don't know how to get from point A to point B. And so that's where we come in. We understand that people don't necessarily understand all the nuances of how to finance a business. They don't necessarily know how to put a business plan together. They don't know where to go to find these resources. And so if there's anyone out there that's listening to this that does have a good idea, particularly for a business startup or a business expansion opportunity, I would encourage them to reach out to their either local or regional economic development partner in their community. And we're really the ones that are that conduit to the resources that perhaps exist at the state government or the federal government level, including financing, to help get those projects going.
Are folks a little bit nervous about sharing their ideas for, I guess, a fear, whether it's rational or not, that somebody's going to steal it from them before they can, collect the resources themselves to get it off the ground?
Everything that we do is strictly confidential. It's free, it's confidential, and we provide these entrepreneurs or prospective entrepreneurs with the very best advice that we can give them in terms of financing, putting a business plan together. So although there may be some concern with regard to, oh, somebody's going to swipe my idea, that's certainly not going to happen if you come into either a regional or local development organization. We're here to help you be successful.
Yeah, and of course, how much of that idea do they need to have put together before they realize, hey, I've got something here, I need to reach out for some help?
You know, they don't have to put together a lot, because that's what we're here to do. We understand that folks that are perhaps bouncing around on a tractor during seeding, and they want to do something in the value-added ag arena, that's going to move the needle in terms of their own economy. They may not have the idea from A to B. They may not have all of the ideas together to make it successful, but that's where they can come in and talk to us, and we can access the resources to put them on the right track towards success.
All right. So say it's a good idea. See, we got about a minute here. I want to talk a bit later on, too. Maybe it's after this break. You need a little bit of help. You need probably a little bit of luck. The thing that I want to tee up a little bit, and if you can do it in 30 seconds, keeping our rural communities vibrant, protecting our rural values. Do those two things go together?
Oh, they sure do. Absolutely. And I think that if you talk to anybody that's been in the role like I have of rural development, as long as I have, the two absolutely go together. You can have a vibrant community and still enjoy a quality of life that is second to none.
So we'll let's maybe explore that a little bit about those ideas that are keeping rural America vibrant in Montana. I think we're seeing those in a lot of different ways. The communities are taking more control of their own futures in that regard, and developing centers or reaching out to organizations like yourself. Paul Tuss is with us, Executive Director of Bear Paw Development. We'll talk to, as I mentioned, serving that area, 17,000 square miles along the High Line, 5 counties and 2 Indian reservations in northern Montana. Lots to come. It's From Montana, for Montana, as always, Voices of Montana. Native of Anaconda, Montana, graduate University of Montana. He is a Grizz through and through, although he's also a Northern Light, as he has been associated with education and certainly that MSU Northern University up there in Havre for quite a while. Paul Tuss, 20 years and going strong, Executive Director of Bear Paw Development, as we look at rural economic development in Montana. Paul, again, I appreciate you being here. I want to go into this a little bit, because I have concerns that, you know, we talk about our rural values, and maybe they're not so well-defined. They're going to be subjective to a large degree. But I think there's something we can grab onto when we say, yes, we need to protect our rural values. And then I look at our communities. I look at Montana. I look at the schools getting smaller and smaller. And I go, what do we do? Communities, though, I think, are also well aware and kind of taking the bull by the horns and for their own sakes, right?
Tom, you hit the nail on the head. I couldn't have said it better. I think the truth about, and when you talk about rural values, if you talk to 10 people, you're going to get 10 different ideas about what rural values really are. But one of the truisms about living in rural America is that you have to be authentic to who you are. You have to be genuine to living in a place like rural Montana. And there are obvious advantages to living in an urban environment, but rural Montana is not urban Montana. And so if you think about the development opportunities for business startups and business expansions, what are the assets that we have in rural Montana that will make those ideas successful? And one of the biggest areas that we're involved with, and we've been involved with for decades, is value-added agriculture. We're surrounded by an incredible array of agriculture, the most productive agriculture, I would argue, in the entire world. So what do we do about that to kind of take the next step toward profitability and success? And it's really, in my opinion, adding value to those raw commodities that we grow so successfully, not just here in northern Montana, but throughout our state. You know, beef processing is a great example. And I know there's been a real emphasis through the Montana Department of Agriculture in beef processing facilities and having some of the funding that's currently flowing from the federal government to the state government to really go toward these value-added shops in beef processing. That's just one example. But I think that the bottom line is that we have to be authentic to who we are and be happy about that and not necessarily try to replicate what's happening in our urban centers.
When you say value-added agriculture, what do you mean?
It's taking wheat and making bread from that wheat. Mm-hmm. It's taking the cattle that we raise and processing that cattle. It's taking hemp and making fiber with it. It's doing something other than simply growing the commodity here, putting it on rail, and transferring it out of state. You know, it was in the 1970s that approximately 75% of the food that we ate here in Montana came from Montana. That number is now 20%. Mm. The food that we're eating here in Montana, and my guess is that this is a statistic that's true throughout the nation, doesn't necessarily come from local sources anymore. We need to change that.
And we've interviewed folks generally in a made in Montana sort of theme who have done that. And I think there's an outfit, I can't remember the name, out of Big Sandy that they're making. What is it? It's like
Commute.
It's a what? It's
Cracklin' Commute. It's a wonderful snack food.
Yeah.
And they've been doing that for about 10 years now. And they're selling this not just here in Montana, but internationally in Canada.
Yeah. And the same thing in northeastern Montana. I think they're developing recipes for lentils, even making like lentil brownies or things like that. Do you guys help with things like that too?
Oh, we sure do. Yeah. And, you know, the truth is that whether or not you want to start a hardware store or a value-added business, the truth is that in many ways the components of doing that are the same. You need a business plan, you need an idea, and you need financing. So if anyone in the value-added ag arena is interested in certainly going that direction, I would still encourage them to contact their regional or local economic development organizations that can help them find financing, but probably more important, put their good idea on paper and develop a business plan.
Yeah, there's no substitute for doing the hard work, is there?
You got to work. I mean, you got to work at this. And we're certainly not here to do the work for you, but we're the conduit to the resources that will assist you in getting down the road with your successful idea.
A couple of things I want to talk about before we conclude here after the break. Headlines upcoming here. Outdoor recreation. I see that being focused in a lot of ways along the High Line because there's a lot of opportunities up there that I'm not sure people are aware of. So marketing on that and also how we are helping in Indian country. I know as part of your development area there, you have two Indian reservations in northern Montana. So I want to come on back with Paul Tuss, Executive Director of Bear Paw Development, and explore those issues here on Voices after these headlines from Brian Bennett. Direct you to Bearpaw, BEARPAW.org for more information on Bearpaw Development. They are, I think, the state's longest serving economic development district. As I mentioned, Paul Tuss is with us here, AD of Bearpaw Development, been there for an awful long, lot of years too. Won't have time. We're big fans of the cooperative model, the Montana Cooperative Development Center. Paul, I know that you've served as a member of the board of directors there. But let's go to those two topics I want to hit: outdoor recreation and economic development in Indian country. Go start with outdoor recreation. Still a lot of opportunity to market that.
Oh, there's a ton of opportunities, and as we've seen during the pandemic, those folks that live outside of Montana want to come to Montana. Those urban dwellers want to come to rural America, and we have just a plethora of opportunities for folks to participate in outdoor recreation, not just here, obviously, in northern Montana, but throughout our state. And it's a big driver for economic development, as we all know. Tourism and visitation in our state is a very, very significant driver of our economic development. We have more than 12 million people come to Montana every single year from outside our borders to do just that. And there's not a better state in the nation in terms of outdoor recreation than Montana. So it gets back to the earlier conversation that we had, Tom, about being who you are and being authentic. And when you think about authenticity in Montana, outdoor recreation really go hand in hand.
I have a follow-up there. If you quickly can, how do we get away from the thinking that outdoor recreation is in Montana is only in the mountains? versus, like you say, the authenticity of each unique county in Montana?
Oh, you need to come here. I mean, we just need to promote it as best we can, but we really need to encourage people to come to the prairie. You know, come to northern Montana, come to eastern Montana, and see the beauty of where we live and work. It's phenomenal. I agree with you.
Indian country, we doing a good job? Or how can we do a better job?
We always need to keep our eye on the ball in terms of what we can do to help Indian country. We are a Native American business advisor here at Bear Paw Development Corporation for the Chippewa Cree Tribe at the Rocky Boys Indian Reservation. And we partner with what we call Indianpreneurs at Rocky Boy and, frankly, elsewhere on other reservations as well to access a program at the Montana Department of Commerce called the Indian Equity Fund. And it's specifically for Indian entrepreneurs who have a good idea, don't know how to necessarily get that idea off the ground and to success. And so I would encourage anybody in Indian country out there that wants to do that to contact their local or regional economic development organization and talk about how to access the funds in the Indian Equity Fund from the Montana Department of Commerce.
Are there nuances or is the template still the same?
The template is still the same. I mean, the truth is a business plan is a business plan. And if you want to go into business or if you have an existing business that you want to expand, the truth is you'll need a business plan and you'll need a plan to get from point A to point B. And that's what we can help with.
All right. You got a stack of folders that say in. You got a stack of folders that say out. What is cool in those two folders?
You know, one of the best projects that we've been working on, you and I talked a little bit earlier today about meat processing. We have got a project in Malta, Montana, Highline Packing, and there's a gentleman up there, and his name is Jim Dumas, and he actually has moved his operation for Big Sandy, and he expanded significantly to Malta, and it's a meat processing facility, and they're looking to receive federal USDA certification, and it's one of the best examples of a quality value-added egg project that we've been involved with for years. We helped to finance that, and they're not only processing beef, Tom, they have now started a retail outlet downtown Malta where you can buy that meat. And so it's really one of the best examples of how you can do value-added ag in northern Montana that I can think of.
Yeah, you know, and funny you mentioned that. I mean, we were up there recently, Haver, Malta, Shelby, but in Malta with the Tow Rope Tour, and we toured Jim's place. And he, very focused, very, very serious about it. And that's economic development. Like you say, at a level, you can create 10 jobs in Malta. It's like creating 500 jobs here in Billings. It's just super. Hey, Paul, I appreciate the work you do and chatting with you. We'll be in touch again. I know that you're out there protecting or trying to encourage our rural lifelines. And I do appreciate that, Paul. Be well.
Thank you, Tom, very much.